Welcome to Pints and Politics. I'm your host, Dan Parsons. As our regular viewers and listeners know, Pints and Politics is all about a conversation about the most important topics of the day here in Nebraska and the region. And we do so while enjoying a delicious Nebraska craft beer. So welcome. This is episode number 39. If you're keeping track on your bingo score, your bingo card at home, episode 39. And let me introduce our guests who were here for, if you look back in the archives, for episode 26 back in January of 2020. Lynn McNally, Lance Morgan, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
I think this is our third appearance.
Yeah. It is your third appearance. That's exactly right.
I came back for the beer.
Lance liked the beer so much, we decided to do it again. So back in January of 2020, Lynn and Lance, we sat down. Well, let me do the formal introductions. But we sat down and we talked about an initiative that was going to be on the ballot in November of 2020 about gambling.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but your podcast was the first thing that we did.
That's right.
It was the very first thing we did.
So that kind of launched the campaign.
Yes, it did.
Thank you.
Successful. Well,
yes.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a hard-fought effort, and congratulations. So let me do the introductions, and then we'll get into this. So Lynn McNally is Executive Vice President for the Nebraska Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association, which is a nonprofit organization in Nebraska that champions horse racing.
Correct.
And you've done that for many years?
18.
That's a few.
Yeah.
And delightful, as always, Lynn, to have you on the show.
Thank you. Lance, happy to be here.
And Lance Morgan is President and Chief Executive Officer of Ho-Chunk, Inc., the award-winning, extravagant, wonderful, tell stories until the sun goes down, award-winning Economic Development Corporation of the Winnebago Tribe. Lance, thanks for coming back on.
Can I make a suggestion? I have trouble with your name, the Horsemen's Benevolent Protective Association.
We call it Horsemen.
Don't you think that's redundant, benevolent, and protective? Can't we just shorten it up?
No, it's good works, and we protect them.
All right, just checking.
Okay.
All right.
It is a mouthful, but the horsemen.
Actually,
horse people.
Interesting. We are a client of his marketing division, Blue Earth Marketing. And they have rebranded us. They gave us a new logo, and they shortened our name to the Nebraska Horsemen.
Nebraska Horsemen. That's a good move. Yeah. Well, before we dive into the topic at hand, it's our tradition, as you know, on Pints and Politics to enjoy a Nebraska craft beer. And today we've chosen a German-style Kolsch from our friends at Zipline. And so let me open this up, and I'll pass one over to you. Look at that. Just
making a mess
like
already.
That. Here, I'll take that one back from you, Lynn. And there we go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So as we pour these, let me just tell you a little bit. And we'll have notes, as we always do.
We're filming this at 9 a.m.
Well, thankfully, it is afternoon. So the German Kolsch from our friends at Zipline Brewing Company here in Lincoln, America. It's a refreshing ale that drinks like a lager. The German-style Kolsch pours straw yellow with hints of honey malt. It's a honey malt character. A smooth, crisp finish, as my friends like to say. It's a lawnmower beer because you can go mow the lawn on a hot July day and enjoy this afterwards.
Perfect.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome back.
You're right.
That's good.
It is.
Right? You could mow the lawn and go
I expect
in.
You to be over.
To mow the
yard. To mow the yard.
So I can have a beer. You better have some beer.
Okay.
Okay.
I haven't mowed my own lawn in 20 years.
So let's catch up.
Okay.
In November of 20, after years and years and years of different entities trying to provide opportunities for expanded gambling in Nebraska, you guys finally broke through and not only won, but did it overwhelmingly. Again, congratulations. I'll help take credit for launching the campaign.
You should.
Because it was a topic of interest.
Yes.
Across the state of Nebraska. It was timely. It was it was time for Nebraskans to change policy to allow expanded gambling in Nebraska. So,
well, and it remains very interesting. I was just saying earlier that I was at an event this weekend and was in Fremont getting gas, and someone at the gas station who was getting gas next to me stopped me because he saw my shirt. I had a Warhorse shirt on. And he said, I voted in November. Why am I not gambling right now?
Right, right. So what's the answer to that?
The answer to that is it's very complicated to open a casino. Who knew?
Well, yes. And there had to be legislation passed.
Certainly not me.
Let's get going, right?
Well, so after it passed.
There didn't need to be legislation. They introduced legislation in order to clarify a couple things.
Right.
We had to be very careful what we put into the law because one of the challenges was going to be legal. If you have too many things in there, it can knock it out.
Right. Yes, exactly. And so, yeah, it was properly written. I remember your opponent saying they were counting on the courts to once again throw the initiative out because that's how they were successful most years in the past.
Right.
But attitudes change.
Right.
And people want the opportunity to spend our money in Nebraska instead of going across the border and spend our money.
Well, there. As you know, we have I'm going to give him full credit. Andy Berry is an attorney with Klein Williams here in Lincoln. Yeah. And he's the one that argued our Supreme Court case and kept us on the ballot.
Yeah.
So he did a fantastic job. Once it passed, the legislation really was about clarification of sports betting to establish that sports betting can only be done at the racetracks in the casino. So we're glad that got clarified. In the meantime, the Racing and Gaming Commission is a thing now. Used to be the Racing Commission. They just had a hearing two Fridays ago to receive the numerous applications they've gotten for horse tracks in the state.
Because let's be clear. Warhorse Gaming, Ho-Chunk Inc., is responsible, or you're trying to be responsible for a handful of casinos.
Correct.
And there are other interests who also want to build casinos.
Well, one of the reasons we could have sponsored a gaming initiative that wasn't tied to horse tracks, we could have just said, let's just open it up for gaming, but we tied it with our partners at the horse tracks because there were six in the state, and we thought that would be perceived as more of a limited, you know, number of tracks and casinos. So there wasn't one, you know, on every corner, so to speak. And we've been pretty open about that.
As your opponent suggested would happen. So remind us of those six locations that there are currently horse racing tracks.
Omaha and Lincoln are owned by the Horsemen. Mm-hmm. South Sioux City is owned by Ho-Chunk. Mm-hmm. Columbus is owned by a group called Columbus Exposition Racing. And Fauner Park is owned by the Hall County Ag Society. And then there's a small quarter horse track in Hastings, Nebraska.
Okay. And so what are the... Where are the locations that Warhorse wants to build a casino?
Well, they have a partnership agreement with us, and so they will definitely be opening Warhorse Lincoln and Warhorse Omaha. Mm-hmm. And then they will be opening South Sioux City, and then...
We applied for one in Norfolk. We bought the event center at Divitz,
yep.
And we pitched it as a track and probably eventually a casino.
Nice. Well, that certainly would make a lot of sense in that area.
Right.
There's no track in that area.
Yeah.
And it's a part of the state that really wants it. And we've got the support of the city. And a couple of neighbors weren't too happy. But overall, people are behind it overwhelmingly.
You know, we've had the mayor of Norfolk, Josh Moaning, on. And they're doing...
He's a big supporter of that project.
Yeah, they're doing some amazing things in Norfolk.
They really are.
Looks great there.
With their development along the river and their downtown. And yeah, it seems only natural that they would... want to get on this in on this action.
I grew up in Neely, Nebraska.
Oh, sure.
In northeast Nebraska.
Yeah.
And so when you went to the big city to go shopping, you went to Norfolk, and it looks so much different than it did when I was a kid.
So if I remember correctly, there were estimates of $500 million was being shipped off to other states in loss of
It was about $400 million a year were going across the borders, primarily from the over to Council Bluffs, but certainly to some extent in Sioux City area too. And then all along the border, every border, every state has a gaming operation outside
around.
Of Nebraska.
Yeah.
So about $500 million total.
Yeah.
And just to Council Bluffs, since the boats open, we've lost $9 billion.
Wow.
Every day is about $850,000 to $1 million.
A day.
So every day that this takes is just more money in Iowa's pocket, to be honest.
So the process, there is a new gaming commission. What did you, I'm sorry?
The Racing and Gaming Commission.
Racing and Gaming Commission.
It was the Racing Commission. There were five members. The Racing and Gaming Commission has seven members, so two more members with the original five.
So there's a process that they've developed.
Are developing.
To regulate who gets the license to build a casino. Is
correct.
That the process?
Yeah.
So where are they at in that process? And how many, is everybody in that's wants to be in? Is there any kind of timelines?
Well,
what does that look like?
About a week and a half ago, they had their first real gaming commission hearing, and all five applicants for the new licenses were all there. They took brief testimony from all five, but they created subcommittees. They created a facilities committee, and what was the other committee?
Was construction and then strategy.
Strategy. So they have informed the public that those subcommittees will hear their own testimony on all of those licenses. But they really indicated to the public that they're going to be very deliberative and thoughtful about this. They're not going to be handing out licenses willy-nilly. They're really going to put some thought into it. And they have asked for additional information about market share, number of horses in the state, whether a particular location would be advantageous for horse racing or if it would be detrimental. So they're really putting a lot of thought into the whole process. And I would completely anticipate that the legislature will be weighing in on this as well.
Yeah, I think that there was not a process in place. There's six tracks and then five were proposed. And the ones that we really had some heartburn with were Bellevue and York, which would
Very close to Omaha.
And
6 miles away.
Horse racing is primarily going to be supported by the big three tracks, Omaha, Lincoln, and Grand Island at Farner Park. And if you place those two right between them, well, then what you're going to do is siphon off the gaming money. And the gaming money is what's going to go to fund the horse racing and build up the industry. And I testified that, you know, gaming expansion in Iowa already killed the horse racing industry, and we're just about to bring it back. And if we let just anybody put up a gaming operation, well, we're going to risk killing it again before we even get started. And I think that some people are saying, well, we'll run a race, but we're really there to get a casino. And so I think it's pretty transparent what's going on, and it's not going to help horse racing one bit. And in a place like Bellevue, it's just going to cut the pie down one more. And Lynn was very persuasive in her argument, a testimony there where she said, if you have two casinos in Omaha, you can't come out strong. You're going to have two weak competitors against entrenched casinos in Council Bluffs. And so you're being too weak to really fight back. And so you need these destination style facilities. And I think Nebraska is going to figure that out with the strategic committee, I'm hoping.
Because I assume across the country, you don't put casinos right next to each other.
You do not.
It doesn't make any sense.
The only reason there are in Council Bluffs is because Omaha was such a big market, and they were draining off it. But Iowa's went through this process many times where they conducted a study and say, where can we actually do something? And I think that Nebraska is just in the beginning stages of that sort of process. So I don't think that you're going to see one, a huge expansion push at all.
Keep the money in Nebraska was not just a campaign slogan
yeah.
for us. We meant it from the depths of our soul. And if you don't have destination casinos, you're not going to recapture those customers. They're just going to stay in Council Bluffs.
Well, and the uniqueness of having horse racing combined with your casino. I mean, that was the deal. That's why you guys partnered from the beginning. It seems to me there's some nostalgia. You're saving the horse racing industry.
Well, and for those of us in the industry, not just racing, but in gaming, this is a topic of conversation nationally, are these two projects in particular, Lincoln and Omaha.
Interesting.
The most notable is in Lincoln, we're going to have a 5-story hotel where you're going to be able to watch live racing from your hotel room on your balcony.
Nice.
And we're the only facility that will have hotel rooms on the finish line at the track.
You know, I've seen some photographs and the video that you produced for the Lincoln project. $200 million project. Hundreds and hundreds of jobs.
Oh, it's more expensive than that now.
It just, I don't know, it just keeps getting...
Well, like you build a house,
I can't even think about it right now. It just keeps adding up. We're up to about 500.
Oh, okay.
Our budget is a little over $500 million for the Omaha and Lincoln facilities.
Yeah. So, the two of them combined.
Combined.
Yeah.
Wow. So walk me through that process. Will there be more public hearings? What is the Gaming
yes.
Commission?
Well,
what's
they,
that process?
They
like?
Have to work their way through rules and regs first. So they've hired an independent evaluator to take a look at the rules and regs that the commission has already drafted.
Okay.
They're in that process right now as we speak. Once the evaluator has weighed in on if there's anything missing or if they should make any changes, then the commission will open it up to a public comment period, and that'll be 30 days. And then after the public comment period is closed at some point, then they will refer it to the attorney general and then the governor.
Okay.
And so the governor must approve the rules and regs before they can issue any licenses.
Very similar to other state agencies.
Correct.
And their rules and regs.
Yeah, so you know, there's people ask me all the time, it's pretty well known that the governor was against the gaming expansion, but he's been supportive. You know, he's appointed his person, he signed the bill, and so we're hoping that this doesn't become a dragged out. We'd like to get licensed, the application going in the next couple of months. And then hopefully we can get construction going before the winter. Because like I said, every day is about $1 million that's not in this state that's leaving. And so timing really does matter.
So Lance, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're suggesting if everything goes right, you could start construction in Lincoln and Omaha on those two casinos before the end of the year?
Yeah, and so if you think about what $500 million invested into construction in Nebraska is going to mean for the average person who's in that industry, I mean, it's going to be jobs galore in terms of just building these things in both Omaha and Lincoln. And so I think the timing of getting them going is pretty important, I think, to this.
Well, we would love to start contributing to that property tax relief fund.
Yep.
We would love to be able to do that.
What does that look like? Typical homeowner in Lincoln, obviously great support from Lincoln throughout the state. But if I remember correctly, Lincoln was even skewed a little higher.
Lincoln, Sarpy County, Douglas County, we're all
70-some percent
higher.
on the election. Yep. I think it's going to be about $100 million is going to go into that fund.
Wow.
And I don't know what that translates to across the entire state. But I tell people, maybe it won't go up this year because every time I get mine, it seems like it goes up. But I think it's a positive. But you have to think of it also as the economic benefits.
Yes.
of obviously the casino, and then the local tax money that goes 25% goes into the city where it's at. And so that'll help increase make the community better. And then the revival of the horse racing industry in the rural Nebraska is going to matter too. So it's just going to be a positive, I think, overall.
Lincoln, Omaha, South Sioux?
Yeah. Norfolk.
Maybe Norfolk. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's exciting for people who are listening and viewing, the prospect that construction could start before the snow starts flying. And so that construction for the Lincoln and Omaha casinos, how long would that take?
We're looking at between 18 and 20 months.
Okay.
Is the actual timeline from the time you break ground until you're done.
But we can have temporary facility potentially in both locations. So there'll be some gaming going on right away.
While construction's going on.
Where did the name Warhorse Casino come from? Gaming, Warhorse Gaming.
Oh, I like this story.
Well, we had a meeting and we didn't have a name. And we were actually looking at a name for just our operation. And we like to name things because we work for an Indian tribe and we're Ho-Chunk Inc. And that's a little too Indian for most people. I think it's Chinese sometimes, but what we name, we have a marketing company called Blue Earth Marketing. Mm-hmm. It's a town we got kicked out of in the 1800s. But it sounds kind of native, but it isn't necessarily overt. We have a development called Flatwater Crossing, which Nebraska means flatwater. So we like native sounding names, but not too powerful. And we were coming up with names and we said, what about horses? This is a horse track. And somebody brought up Secretariat and Seattle Slough. That wasn't going to work. And so I read a book in grade school on the horse Man of War, which I always thought was a cool name.
Yep.
And one of the chairman of the organization also was in the military. And I brought up, what about a war horse, which sounds kind of native, but also a lot of militaries had a cavalry. And since our partnership with the horsemen was in place, it just kind of grew on us and it just stuck. And war horse sounds good. And what I like about it is our competitor is the horseshoe. I mean, that's all they got is a horseshoe. So... So we've got the whole horse,
and it's a war horse.
And I think it's caught on. I think the name has caught on pretty quickly.
That was the one meeting I missed. I had a conflict I couldn't get out of, and so I called the marketing department afterwards, and I said, "So, what did you come up with for names?" And they said, "We're going to let Lance tell you." And I said, "Because it's good or because it's bad?" And they said, "We're just going to let Lance tell you what the name
is." I'm the boss, so they have to like it at the end.
If they say yes. But well, when I went back and told my board what he had decided to name the division within Ho-Chunk, they said, "Oh, but that's going to be the casino name, right?" And so I went back and told him, you know, they would really like it to be the casino name. So.
And we wanted the casinos to be real modern and contemporary. And so we went with a modern contemporary sort of logo with it too. And I think it's caught on and I think it'll be fit. And so we'll have Warhorse, Omaha, Lincoln, and South Sioux.
And I've been very pleased. I wear my shirt everywhere with the logo on it and everyone knows what it is. I mean, nobody has ever said, what is that? Or what does it stand
for? Well, we haven't spent a penny in marketing yet, but it has some name recognition. So that's great.
Right. Well, and I look forward to helping monetize some swag for you.
There you go.
If you have photos or video that we can share with our viewers,
that would be fantastic.
That'd be great. So once let's fast forward, the casino in Lincoln and Omaha and South Sioux are built. What's that experience going to look like? Will we be able to have a Nebraska craft beer? What do you want to do? For the atmosphere, you said it's modern. And
well, the Nebraska element's pretty important to us. You know, we're a minority contractor in Nebraska, which is a tough place to be a minority contractor because it's illegal to make that sort of distinction. But we do a lot of federal contracting in that area. And so what we want to do, first of all, is have a Nebraska-based construction presence. And then we want to see if we can set aside some things to really make sure small business, whether it's minority or not, but small businesses have an opportunity to really work on it and figure out ways to help them do that because they have challenges. But after that, inside the casino, you know, whether it's, we have these small restaurant opportunities, we're going to sell a lot of beer. And I really love going around Nebraska and trying to taste, you know, the local beers. And so I'm going to keep my research up and we're going to pick the best ones and then we're going to put them into the facilities.
Well,
keep the money in Nebraska and the beer.
You have an open invitation to continue to come back on Pints and Politics because we are the ambassador, craft beer ambassador of the state. So,
But it goes all the way down to not just construction.
Yeah.
But the restaurant options, we're trying to look at local options first and just throughout. Lance has given us direction that we must do business with Nebraska companies if possible.
That's great.
Yeah. If you think about it, the casino is going to do well if Nebraska does well. I mean, we are stuck together. So if Nebraska does well, the gaming will do well. So anything we can do to pump money back in the economy, it's going to do it. And our actual mission as a company, that's how we started, was to take gaming dollars from the Tribes Casino and put them into economic development. And that has not changed one bit. In Sioux City, there's a casino that came in there and they take money out every you know, day and it goes to some rich guy in Vegas.
Right.
And what we don't, nobody owns the Horsemen and nobody owns Ho-Chunk Inc. And so we're going to take the money that's made and put it right back in the communities that we're located in. And so we'll become much more of a player already than we are in Nebraska.
In addition to the tax dollars, you're talking about reinvesting those profits back into the
business. We have every incentive to do that because the more we do, the better Lincoln does, the better Omaha does, the better South Sioux does, the better the gaming facility does. So it's going to be sort of this perpetual cycle of real economic opportunity, we're hoping.
If our viewers and listeners want to keep track of what's going on, if they want to contact their local city government, because I assume there's still, you'd mentioned TIF earlier, there's some battles always over TIF funding. How do people, if I live in Lincoln, if I live in Omaha or South Sioux, how can I support and help before the doors are open?
The Warhorse Facebook page is extremely active. There is constant information on that page in particular. And then just do a Google search on Warhorse. We've got a website up, that kind of thing. We've had people spontaneously asking us about, you know, when can they apply for jobs, that kind of thing. We're going to be actively marketing because we're going to need to hire a lot of people. So
I think our risk is probably a little bit political in terms of the timing of getting stuff approved. But there's, I mean, I think that everyone realizes that that ship has sailed. Nebraska has spoken. You know, we got 69%.
Overwhelming.
We got 69% of the vote. I said on a radio show that if Obama was running against Osama, he couldn't get 69% in Nebraska. Right. And so, you know, it's overwhelming. And so,
well, how much did abolishing slavery get?
Well, an embarrassing 68. So we actually outperformed.
So you did 1% better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a troubling statistic.
It is.
But gaming taxation is more popular than ending slavery. Anyway, so, but I think in terms of what people can do, I think encouraging our political people to keep this moving. Is probably pretty important.
And to stay on track.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned your lives have changed a little bit. First of all, you're busy as hell. You're kind enough to give us some time to give us an update here today.
Oh, we love to come here.
Well, it's I'll serve beer.
I have my reasons.
That's right. But I suspect your lives have changed. You said you get noticed at the gas station in Fremont now because someone saw you.
Yeah, it was a little bit crazy. He was a little bit accusatory because he voted for this clear back in November and wants to know why they're not open.
Yeah.
I said, we're trying.
Well, it's a sea change in Nebraska that's going to benefit so many people. And just for those people who maybe are tuning in who weren't supportive, you know, I think we will start to see the benefits of this decision. And obviously there are safeguards put in place for those people who have problems with gambling.
I don't know if you remember the last time, but the last time we were here, Lance said, if you don't like to gamble or you don't support gambling, you should still vote for this because, you know, if you're a property owner, it benefits you. It keeps revenue in the state. That money's going to turn over several times. So it really is all the way around.
We're not going to pick anybody up, handcuff them, and take them to the Warhorse. And so it's a voluntary operation. And if you think of it as an entertainment option and you approach it in a measured way, then it's a lot of fun, you know. So, but you've got to be careful about people getting carried away, though.
Sure. We've been actively working with the Problem Gambling Assistance Fund. They're going away from compulsive gambling. It's Problem Gambling Fund now. And so, you know, we're very much actively working with them. You know, we want this to be a fun experience. We don't want it to be a problem.
Well, that's a little bit paternalistic too. I think that, you know, people, you look at this vaccine debate, some people want it, some people don't. They're like, don't tread on me, trust me, I can do my own thing, right? So what's the difference? You know, I mean, you've got to trust people to be able to make the right decisions and how they expend their money and their entertainment dollar, you know, and it's a little paternalistic to think that you have to tell a grown
Big
Nebraskan
brother,
what to do.
Has to,
right?
Yeah. Well, there are safeguards built in, and you know, I think once you're up and running, people will, even before you're up and running, look at the economic benefit of just building these
facilities
in Nebraska. Yeah.
And the Horsemen have purchased additional land in Lincoln next to the facility we already have. So we're going to be expanding that way. We're building more barns. You know, you're going to have a ton more people doing business in Lincoln for the majority of the year. So it's going to be really great.
Yeah, we purchased a lot of land in South Sioux City for expansion too.
Yeah.
And in Omaha in order to do the same thing.
Yes.
You know, we ran a race a few weeks ago on a Saturday. It was 3 races. It was 1 furlong. And we had a few thousand people show up.
It was packed.
So it's going to be, I think it's just, it, I think there's this demand to go back and do something a little bit retro. And I think it's going to be very popular.
How exciting. How exciting for the state. How exciting for the horse racing industry. How exciting for Ho-Chunk and for the horsemen.
Yes, very much
and
so.
If you're watching this and you're thinking about getting in the horse racing industry, it's probably the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot more funding going into it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really a great pastime to participate in.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to hearing all about the success as you begin construction. And cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
So the Indians making a comeback.
There you go.
It's been 150 years.
Mm-hmm. It's about damn time. Well, thanks to the Nebraska Horsemen, Warhorse Gaming, BCOM Solutions for the production, editing, and distribution of Pints and Politics, Kim Remington, our operations manager at Parsons Public Relations. That theme music that you may be hearing is by Lincoln's own Jack Rodenberg. Thanks to Fuse Co-working and Parsons Public Relations. And let me especially thank our guests, Lance Morgan and Lynn McNally, for this wonderful episode number 39.